asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. Afrin in northwestern Syria is under siege as pro-government Syrian forces tangle with Turkish troops in an attempt to control the majority Kurdish town. The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, has issued a blank statement in response to the escalating siege of Ghouta in eastern Syria. From the UN headquarters in New York, William Denslow reports.
In a statement, UNICEF's regional director, Hiet Kapliare, said no words will do justice to the children killed, their mothers, their fathers, and their loved ones. This message was followed by a blank space and a note beneath it, explaining that the UN agency has no words to describe children's suffering and their outrage. Forces loyal to Syria's President Bashar al-Assad fired hundreds of rockets into eastern Ghouta on Monday, damaging five medical facilities. Around 100 people are believed to have died, and the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights calls it the deadliest bombardment in the enclave outside Damascus in 3 years. William Denslow, New York.
Separately, Russia's foreign ministry has admitted that several dozen Russian citizens and citizens of other former Soviet states were killed or wounded in a recent battle in Syria. From Moscow, our correspondent Julia Lyubova reports.
The foreign ministry gave no date or location for the clash. However, it said the wounded Russian citizens received help to return back to Russia and were receiving medical treatment. The ministry said the fighters had traveled to Syria at their own will and for a variety of reasons. It did not identify any of the dead or injured by name. This comes after reports that scores of Russian mercenaries were killed by a US-led coalition airstrike in eastern Syria on 7th of February. Moscow dismissed those reports as classic disinformation. The foreign ministry's announcement comes after the families of the fighters believed to have died in the airstrike appealed to the Kremlin to acknowledge their deaths. Julia Lyubova, Moscow.
Venezuela has issued a new digital currency called the Petro. From Caracas, our correspondent Juan Carlos Lamas reports.
The goal is for the Petro to function as a payment method for foreign suppliers and as a way to work around the sanctions imposed by U.S. last year. Venezuela plans to release around $6 billion worth of Petro tokens, which can be acquired in dollars, euros, yuan, and Venezuelan bolivars. President Maduro's critics say that Petro alone won't be able to save the country from economic freefall. Venezuela's opposition-controlled Congress has declared the Petro illegal because, under the law, the legislature must approve any government borrowing. Juan Carlos Lamas, Caracas.
The wreckage of the Iranian plane, which crashed earlier, has been found on a mountainside. 66 died. This is FSN.
Top banana... Priscilla Huff, top banana to you. Give that woman a Chiquita banana. She said Syrian government forces. She never said regime. Wonder will she still be in a job tomorrow? Welcome to Wednesday's. It isn't Wednesday, it's Tuesday. That's wishful thinking. Tuesday's Richie Allen Show. Good to be with you. Tweet me at any time. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. You can email richie at richieallen.co.uk. I do have email service restored. I've only got a tranche, an avalanche even, of emails to get through. Welcome to the programme.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Some way to start that. It is Tuesday, don't panic. Tuesday, that's the one.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now... here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, later on in the program, Patricia Negron will join me again, first on the program back in October of last year. Brilliant report on the Las Vegas shooting. She's been paying attention to the fallout from the Florida shooting last week, Nicholas Cruz and all of that, and will be on to talk to me about that and much more. Patricia Negron joins the program a little bit later on. Check her out. Somebody worth checking out. Very, very good investigative journalist. You can tweet me. I've already said that, but I'll say it again. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. You can also email the programme. But just in the meantime, I suggest that you do tweet me. It's quicker and I get the tweets instantaneously, and that's good. So tweet the programme and tell me what you're thinking about any of the issues. I've got an extensive news roundup for you now and some very interesting things to talk about. So I do. So let's get on with it. It's the 20th of February 2018. We're live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. My own website, richieallen.co.uk and triggerwarning.tv. The programme can now be heard. Repeats of it can be heard and downloaded at iTunes, Spotify.com. We're on iHeartRadio as well. And, well, where are we not broadcasting is the question. All right. Right, well, we're going to talk about Syria for a bit. By the way, I posted a couple of articles to richieallen.co.uk today. You might find them interesting. And whether you do or whether you don't, you can write about them and comment on them on the forum. We have a good forum at richieallen.co.uk there as well. So then, it has been reported that yesterday, 20 boys and girls are among more than 100 people killed in a government attack on rebel-held region near Damascus. Now, that's a headline that has gone around the world today, all over the blogs as well. And I wrote about this today. The media is not questioning any of this. It's just reporting it. In fact, it has been reported that there was another attack this morning that killed over 45 people, and it is alleged again that children were among the dead. Not very pleasant, if any of it is true, if indeed children have died in any sort of explosion. So I've written about this today and I've taken it on, and you know, it's being reported the regime is behind it. Pictures have been produced of allegedly dead children, and that has been mooted as, or put out there as, evidence that the regime is slaughtering the very young and the very innocent. This has done the rounds and it's not being questioned in any way. And just to reiterate, that was yesterday. It's been alleged that 45 people were killed this morning, including around 12 children. Watching the mainstream media, as I do as part of this gig, I couldn't help but notice some of the more hysterical coverage of this, and you won't be surprised to learn that Sky News political correspondent Dominic Waghorn and his sister in crime Kay Burley, well, they were all over the story today. And this is, I suppose, an example of how journalism should not be. Have a listen to Waghorn and Burley today on Sky News, and I'll talk about this in some detail in a minute. Have a listen to this.
Yeah, the UN is, UNICEF is as well, but we've heard all that exasperation, the outrage before, of course, with the fall of Aleppo, the siege of Aleppo in 2016, and it didn't stop the war and it didn't stop the suffering there, and it's not going to here either. So that skyline behind you, Kay, that really says it all. That is Ghouta, that is literally a couple of miles from the centre of Damascus. Imagine the RAF bombing Middlesex. That's the kind of geography we're talking about. That is a densely populated residential area. You've got three plumes of smoke there, all the outcome of bombardment from Syrian aircraft. So the Syrian government sent its air force to attack its own residential areas just in its suburbs. That's what it's come to in the Syrian civil war. Ghouta is this suburb just to the east of Damascus, central Damascus, and it's one of the few areas that have held on, where rebels have held on throughout the civil war. And the government now is determined to flush them out. But there are 400,000 civilians in there, and they are coming under intense bombardment, and it's been the worst 24 hours to 48 hours that that area has seen for at least 3 years, Kay. So, as you're saying, 190, that is the latest figures, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, whose business it is to count the dead.
What? The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, whose business it is to count the dead. Now, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, Dominic, you don't by any chance mean the fat, greasy little T-shirt seller in Coventry who hasn't been to Syria for the best part of 15 years. You wouldn't mean him, would you? How does he know how many people are dead And how does he know who's responsible for it? How do we know this, Dominic? Please, Kay, jump in at any time and ask him, how do we know that the, in quotes, regime killed these people? I mean, there are so many actors on the stage there, Dominic, right? You've got the Yankees, you've got the Zionists, you've got the Russians, the Turks, the Saudis. How do we know what bomb hit what and who died and who was responsible for it? These are good questions. Kay won't ask him. Here's more of the Waghorn Burley duet. Pay attention to this.
And also big concerns, it seems, that the Syrian Air Force, which of course has the backing of the Russian military, a member of the UN Security Council, seems to be targeting again medical facilities, so hospitals and clinics, just as they did in Aleppo. So desperate scenes in those hospitals and on the streets. And the footage we've seen of the impact of that, might be able to bring up the sound here to listen to what happens when modern armaments are used in a residential area. This is the panic that ensues.
Yeah, those youngsters, as you were saying, youngsters caught up amongst the dead as well, of course. And the UN, seemingly powerless, but presumably countries like the United Kingdom, the United States and others must do something to help these youngsters.
Yeah, Dominic, the children and the UN, presumably, Dominic, we can do something to stop these children being murdered.
These youngsters.
Well, and they've been wringing their hands in outrage for years. I mean, it's part of the problem is that Russia is blocking any effort towards a negotiated outcome that doesn't involve Bashar al-Assad. You know, the West, America, Britain wants him to go, the Russians don't, and they are blocking any diplomatic efforts to come towards a negotiated settlement that would get rid of him. They're also blocking any investigations into the use of chemical weapons. And we've seen chlorine gas, we've seen sarin gas being used. So it's partly Russian obstruction, but the Russians say that the West, Britain, America, Europeans don't have an alternative prescription for Syria. So no one's got any good ideas on how to end this, but everyone is pretty clear about what is happening in Ghouta and the tragedy that's unfolding there. A new first is being set in Ghouta in terms of child malnutrition. So you're talking about the little ones. The UN now says that there are more children chronically and acutely malnourished there than there have been throughout the Syrian civil war, which has plumbed new depths of child malnutrition and tragedy already.
Okay, for now, thanks.
You know you're a lying, low-life, motherfucking gambling degenerate prick. You know that's what you are?
Ah, Dominic. Okay, Burley. Okay, thank you, Dominic. Bye for now. Dominic, you lying bastard. Malnutrition, how do you know that? Because the fat T-shirt seller in Coventry told you, did he? In fact, he did. This is the reality. This is the disgrace of it all. This is who the Mail on Sunday, the Guardian, the Observer, the Times, the Sunday Times, this is who is updating them on the situation in Syria. A T-shirt seller who once spent time in jail in Syria because he was colluding with Syria's enemies in order to bring down the autocratic government. Now, autocratic governments are not good. We don't like them. But we also know that Bashar al-Assad, his wife, his extended family, they were transitioning the country, towards a open democracy. That's what they wanted to do. In fact, the United Nations was singing the praises of Bashar the Bastard back in 2008. Wonderful guy, meeting all his millennial goals even. Moving the country towards a country where any man or woman can form a party and can stand for election. But this is the propaganda. Thank you, Dominic. Bye for now. This is what we have. Dreadful propaganda masked as news. Drama, pathos. Pathos, bucket loads of it. The children, the malnourishment. The evil dictator senselessly killing his own people. All were short as the Wicked Witch in the West. How do we know? The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. A fat, motherless bastard in Coventry who's not been home for ages because he's not welcome home. This is true. Harsh, strong language, unbecoming of a proper news radio programme. I don't care. It is maddening to see that. To see these people take this guy's propaganda, rinse and repeat it across national media and sell it to the UK public. Sell it, sell it, sell it. Because I've heard it. I've been out and about in Manchester. I've heard people say, what a bastard Al-Assad is. How do you know? How the fuck do you know what he's like? He was fined a few years ago when he was having dinner in London with John Kerry and meeting the darlings of the left, Gordon Brown and others. Everybody loved him. He was lovely. He was meeting his millennial goals. Then one day he got up and he went, life is too good the way it is. Let's start killing people for the hell of it. Let's start doing that. What do you reckon, Asma? Go ahead, Bashar. Let's start bombing the fuck out of people. That's what we'll do. And you know how crass and coarse that is coming from a presenter like me? It's not becoming, as I said, of a radio programme. Think about it. That's what they want you to believe. This is it. This is the whole story in a nutshell. Madman, dictator, hell-bent on suppressing rebellion, is killing his own people. Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Mad, huh? But that's the reality of it. Do you want to know how insane the news is? Just to back up what I've been saying there, ranting away as I am. Seconds after Kay Burley tried to make herself sound teary and concerned about the plight of Syria's kids, Burley jumped into a story about fried chicken guanque, guanque.
Of course, we'll have more from Dominic, our diplomatic editor, in the next hour on the latest situation in Syria. So do stay tuned for more on that this Tuesday afternoon. Meantime, let's tell you about what's happening at home. KFC still has hundreds of restaurants closed after teething problems with a new delivery contractor meant it ran out of chicken. KFC says it's working flat out to reopen branches after problems with deliveries
on
Friday.
Kay. The children whom are not malnourished in Syria are dead. But that's not the fucking half of it. You can't get a original recipe five-piece box for your big fat fucking mouth because there's a problem with KFC and one of its delivery agents, DHL. That's the madness of the media. Thank you, Dominic. In other news, there's no fried chicken. What the fuck are you gonna do? I don't know. Eh? I was listening to that today, and not for the first or the last time. I started to think about Sidney Lumet's film Network. You know, how can you go from dead children to fried chicken without missing a beat? How can you do that? It's televisual insanity for your entertainment every weekday afternoon. And then a few minutes later, she'll bring a guide dog into the studio and roll around on the floor with the guide dog. So I was thinking again about Sidney Lumet's film Network. How prophetic was that film? How prophetic was that film when Max, played by William Holden, leaves Diana, played by Faye Dunaway. Faye Dunaway is the big anchor on the network. And he says to her, and he's speaking about Kay Burley, of course, and Fiona Bruce and Megyn Kelly and all the rest of them, William Holden speaking to Faye Dunaway, isn't it just Burley down to a T?
You're television incarnate, Diana. Indifferent to suffering. Insensitive to joy. All of life is reduced to the common rubble of banality. War, murder, death. All the same to you as bottles of beer. And the daily business of life is a corrupt comedy. You even shatter the sensations of time and space into split seconds and instant replays. Your madness, Diana. Virulent madness. And everything you touch dies with you.
Madness, Kay. Utter madness. Isn't it? Demonstrated today as poignantly, I think, as it ever has been on afternoon live television news programmes. Staggeringly lunatic, mad. Let's go from killing children and malnutrition to talking about KFC and why DHL is the reason why lazy bastards can't get their snack boxes. Now, as you heard in the news, Syrian pro-government forces have entered the Kurdish-held area of Afrin to confront what state media has called in Syria aggression by the Turkish regime. That's what the Syrians have said. The government was asked to send forces by a Kurdish militia that has been trying to repel an offensive by Turkish troops and allied Syrian rebels. This gets so messy and so mad, eventually even Lieutenant Colombo won't be able to figure it out. They have photographs showing popular forces, fighters passing through a checkpoint in armoured vehicles. Shortly afterwards, Turkish forces reportedly shelled the area. Turkey had threatened to confront Syria if they intervene. Now, this is what the neocon Zionists want. They want escalation, escalation, escalation. And it's very feasible that soon you could have a massive escalation involving Israel, Iran, Turkey, the US, Russia, with the UK being dragged into it. This is a real possibility now. It's what the cabal wants, of course. 20.5 minutes past the hour. It is mad. When we come back, we're going to talk about news about Rotherham and grooming gangs there. We'll talk about Oxfam as well. I've got some very interesting stuff to talk to you about Oxfam and their chief executive facing MPs today and much more besides. This is Tuesday's Richie Allen Show live on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 and Tune In Radio as well as triggerwarning.tv. Let's have that break back in exactly 2 minutes' time.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Welcome back to the program. Now it's been reported today that around 7,000 individuals have cancelled their regular donations to Oxfam, the charity, in the last 10 days. Of course, this on the back of the scandal surrounding aid workers' use of prostitutes in Haiti. Interesting, the Financial Times mentions prostitutes, but they've dropped the mention of the fact that Oxfam employees and representatives have been accused of having sex with underage girls, right? So the charity is fighting for its future, and it's already agreed not to bid for new government contracts until it has regained public trust. These cancellations represent nearly 2% of its 380,000 regular donors. Oxfam received £108 million in private donations last year, which is a quarter of its total income. One of the things that annoys me most about going out and about in Manchester is how so many different charities have young men and women harassing people effectively on Market Street and other parts of the city running alongside you, asking you to sign up to a regular donation. It is dreadful solicitation and harassment of people. I can't stand it. But that's how they get their money, largely, and through these dreadful advertisements where they use actors and actresses to tell you about the desperate situation in parts of the world. And in some parts of the world, they're talking about people like Bill Clinton and his pals are looting the fucking place as they're asking you for donations, right? Right. Now, Mark Goldring is the chief executive of Oxfam, and he said their corporate partners, including companies like Marks and Spencer and Heathrow Airport, are reserving judgment. Now, he appeared before the Commons International Development Committee today, and he apologised for a number of failures by the charity, most of which he said took place before he took over in 2013. The failures included not reporting aid workers' use of prostitutes to the police in Haiti, not informing the public or the UK's Department for International Development that employees' departures were related to sexual misconduct, and also allowing the country director, Roland van Houwermeeren, to resign rather than be sacked for bringing Oxfam into disrepute. Listen to Conservative MP Pauline Latham. She questions Oxfam Chief Executive Mark Goldring on that last point. How was Roland van Houwermeeren allowed move on rather than be sacked? And how was he able to go and work with other work for other companies? How was he able to do that? Well, have a listen to what Pauline Latham said to Goldring and what Goldring replied back to her. Listen to this.
The country director did not, he was not sacked. He left before you concluded your evidence and before you concluded the investigation. Has he ever been re-employed, or have any of those seven or eight people that left over Haiti been re-employed by Oxfam in any capacity whatsoever? Yes.
I believe that one person was re-employed as a contractor indirectly by another Oxfam, not Oxfam Great Britain. That is a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. It was a short-term contract in another country. It was a failing.
Was it unknowing? Sorry.
Yeah, it's a complete failure.
Yes.
I mean, as the chairman said, did you know, as an organisation, that this person had been involved before?
I know that Oxfam Great Britain warned all the other Oxfams, including a list of names, about not re-employing these people.
Well, it is completely shocking that you should even contemplate re-employing them, however short a time ever, because these men were predators.
I quite agree. I'm not excusing it.
That is why we have now set up a global database of accredited referees of Oxfam.
And when was that started? When did you start that?
We've just started it.
You were found out. Not because you actually wanted to do it or thought you needed to do it, but because you were found out.
You've been talking about this for two years
and nobody's taken any notice.
Good stuff, Pauline Latham, because they were found out. They had no intentions of ever telling anybody. In fact, later today, the International Development Secretary, Penny Mordaunt MP, said as much, that she believes that the Oxfam hierarchy lied to public committees and to the government in the past. Guy suspected of hiring prostitutes, guy suspected of having sex with minors, were moved on to other companies. Where have we heard that sort of behaviour before? Yeah, dreadful stuff. Here's a story, mentioned Rotherham, big story this today. I'm going to read you from the Guardian newspaper. Every newspaper covered this today. The number of children believed to have been sexually exploited in Rotherham has been raised to 1,510 in the first official increase in the figure since the scandal erupted 4 years ago. The National Crime Agency detectives revealed the updated figure on Tuesday in a briefing on Operation Stovewood, which is the investigation into child sexual exploitation over a 16-year period in the South Yorkshire town. Professor Alexis Jay's report in 2014 identified 1,400 victims. The NCA inquiry, which is the biggest of its kind here in the UK, has in fact identified 110 suspects, of whom 80% are of Pakistani heritage, according to officers. Of the 110, 38 have been arrested, 18 have been charged, 2 cautioned, and 4 have been convicted and handed prison sentences, which total over 30 years. 34 investigations continue under the Operation Stovewood umbrella, with 6 trials to take place later in the year. Of the 1,510 potential victims, detectives said that 260, or 17% of them, were speaking to officers, but that police aimed to talk to every victim. The vast majority of victims, writes The Guardian, were white British girls aged between 11 and 18. Now, Sky News presenter Gerard Tubb even has been following this story for several years. Here's his report today.
It's astonishing, isn't it? This is the Metropolitan Borough Council area of Rotherham. Some 260,000 people live in that area. And as you heard, yes, 1,510 potential victims in a database of names now held by the National Crime Agency. They were brought in 2015 off the back of the Professor Alexis Jay report into the scandal of child sexual exploitation in Rotherham, mainly by men of Pakistani heritage and mainly against white girls. And that's what this NCA investigation has found in the 3 years it's been going. Of the 110 suspects that it has now managed to name, 9 out of 10 are of Pakistani heritage, and of those 1,510 victims, 9 out of 10 thereabouts are female, and 9 out of 10 are white. And to give you an idea of, and it should be stressed, this is historical child sexual abuse between 1997 and 2013. And to give you an idea of just how much this investigation has grown as the police have looked at it, they've spoken to about 17% of those 1,510 potential victims, and just one of them, when they spoke to her, came up with the names of 30 offenders who she said had offended against her. She came up with the names of 17 other victims that she knew of and identified 27 crime scenes. That was just one of those victims that they've spoken to. Quite understandable then that the police are saying, look, we've spent £10 million so far, there's a lot more to spend, almost £7 million budget per year they've got now, and they're going to be going at this for years.
For years, Pakistani grooming gangs abusing thousands of girls over 20 years, Rotherham, Rochdale, who knows where else? And I mentioned today on the website, richieallen.co.uk, there was an astonishing documentary which went out on ITV last night. Now, astonishing in terms of, look, learning about wide-scale or widespread or large-scale abuse of boys at boarding schools isn't that new to somebody like me and possibly to somebody like you. But I'm more interested and always have been interested in trying to get this kind of information in front of people who wouldn't ordinarily get to look at it. And it's incredible to see that film on ITV last night, that documentary, which threw up some things that we wouldn't find overly new, but most people, I think, watching it probably would have been horrified. The film was Boarding Schools, The Secret Shame Exposure. And it followed a man called Alex Renton, an abuse survivor, as he tried to kind of highlight the issue and get to the bottom of how many schools knew about the abuse and how many of them, in fact, covered it up. He's written a book about this as well, Alex Renton. I've invited him on the programme. I wrote to him today. I tweeted him and I emailed him. I didn't get any response, fair enough. The documentary was incredible. There was a convicted paedophile former teacher on there called James, and he was smug and he was arrogant, basically saying that intimate relationships between teachers and young pupils at UK boarding schools is normal. This paedophile also said that, in his opinion, 12-year-old boys had as much a right as anybody else to determine when they wanted to enter into a sexual relationship. It was disgusting, of course. The reporter, Alex Renton, was abused by his teacher at Ashdown House in East Sussex, which has seen pupils like Damian Lewis, the actor from Homeland, and Viscount Linley, Boris Bojo Johnson, or others who went there as well. Since 2012, 425 people have been accused of carrying out sexual assaults at UK boarding schools. You see, this is, as David Icke would have said many times over the years, dot connecting. Dot connecting. Because as that documentary went out last night, as Oxfam employees have been raping underage prostitutes or children in Haiti, as we hear about Rotherham, a former councillor in Moray in Scotland has admitted having indecent child image offences on his computer. And for that, he's been ordered to carry out unpaid work. This guy is Sean Morton, former Scottish Labour councillor for Fochabers. I don't know how to pronounce this. Fochabers. Is it Fochabers? And Clanbride. And he previously admitted charges at Elgin Sheriff Court. So this guy's had porn on his computer with children on it, and he was given a community payback order. You see, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Whether it's people like Barry Bennell or Bennell, however you pronounce his name, the football coach, it is everywhere. Everywhere. And the media and politicians and everybody else, detectives, are working their damnedest to keep it secret, to keep the full scale of it coming out. But the full scale of it is coming out. And that was, you know, an amazing documentary that went out. That is available on the ITV player if you're in the UK. And don't fret, I'm sure it'll be on YouTube before too long. What is it? 23 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show. Now, you'll remember Damien Green, former First Minister. Well, not former First Minister, but he was basically Theresa May's second in command. Sacked by the government in December over alleged bad behaviour in regards to a text he sent to the journalist Kate Maltby. He texted her a picture of a woman in a corset, and he said he had thought of Maltby when he saw the picture. Now, Damien Green was on Radio 4's Today Show this morning, and he said he still does not believe that he behaved inappropriately towards Kate Maltby. This is what he said this morning. And I'll tell you why this is interesting, in my opinion anyway, after you've heard Damien Green.
If she felt uncomfortable, then obviously I'm sorry about that. But I should emphasise again, as I have done throughout, that I didn't believe I did anything inappropriate. Still don't. But if she was feeling uncomfortable, then I'm sorry about that.
You still don't believe you did anything inappropriate?
With the Kate Maltby incident. Yes, I don't think I did anything inappropriate.
Okay, so
but I did apologise at the time, and will repeat that now. If she thought I behaved inappropriately, then obviously I'm sorry about that. Because
you see a picture of someone in a corset in a national newspaper, and you then text them saying, "Having seen that picture, I feel impelled to contact you." I mean, do you still don't think that's inappropriate?
That was a joke. I had political discussions with her over a number of years, which continued afterwards. At no stage was there any inappropriate behaviour. If I, on any occasion, made her feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry about that.
OK, so do you think you are a victim in all of this? Do you think that you have been treated wrongly, that you should never have been asked by the Prime Minister to resign?
I'm not going to whinge. I think stuff happens, move
but
on.
But that's really important, isn't it? If you are maintaining you did nothing wrong, then why are you not still in the government?
Well, because all ministers hold their positions at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. And I did break the ministerial code. So, as I say, I'm not going to whinge.
Yeah, he's not going to whinge. I believe if it's true, or if we've heard all of the story, it was flirtation. Maltby worked with Green afterwards and didn't complain to him. She could have told him not to do it again, but it's not harassment, it's flirtation. However clumsy it might be. Maltby tweeted today that because Green thinks he did nothing wrong, it's proof that we need change. No, it's proof that you're an idiot, Kate. You're an idiot. You know? Flirtation. Hey, Damien, what? Don't send me any pictures anymore of women in corsets, will you? All right, fair enough. I'm not interested in you, Damien. All right, fair enough. Job done. Now, of course, Damien Green has been accused of having thousands of explicit pornographic images on his computer as well. I don't know. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Don't forget, Patricia Negron joins the programme in the second hour. She'll be with us shortly. Lots and lots and lots of information coming out about that Florida school shooting. Very uncomfortable information indeed. We'll be talking about that with Patricia in the second hour. Now, the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, is not a happy bunny, not a happy camper. He's not happy in his nappy. He's been accused of being a Czech spy. You know this by now. Accused of selling secrets to commie spies. There was a wonderful cartoon in the Telegraph today by, is it Matt? Is Matt the Telegraph cartoonist? I can't remember. There's so many of them. And it portrayed, seemingly in Czechoslovakia back in the day, the Czech agent telling his superiors that Corbyn had told him that he was planting courgettes in the garden and stuff like that. It was just rubbish. Rubbish. So he's been accused of selling secrets to commie spies, has Jezza. And Jezza was out and about today. He was promoting manufacturing jobs and how we can create manufacturing jobs. But he's a grumpy old man, Jeremy. It's funny, the progressives see Jeremy as some lovely, wonderful, cuddly, decent, kind man who wants to save the planet and take everything back into public ownership and give everybody jobs. He's none of the above. Jeremy Corbyn is a nasty, spiteful, progressive, champagne socialist fucking arsehole. He is a world-class arsehole, this guy. Look at his conduct when he's being interviewed by anybody. His body language. You know, how dare they? The condescension with which he speaks to not just journalists, but anybody who criticises what he has to say or who takes him on. He's an asshole, is Corbyn. Have a listen to him today. This is funny stuff, this. And, you know, anyway, just have a listen.
Mr. Corbyn, you say you want these business leaders to put their trust in you to run the country. How can they do that when serious questions remain about your past? And will you give permission for your Stasi file to be released to help clear things up?
Thanks for your question. I'm very sorry that the Daily Mail has reduced itself to reproducing some nonsense that was written in the Sun beforehand.
You commie bastard, answer the question. Of course, Corbyn wasn't selling secrets to anybody. This is nonsense. But as I said yesterday, sadly, the cultural Marxist progressive clowns who hold this guy up on a pedestal as the answer to, you know, the Tory destruction of the benefit system, as the answer to how disabled people are killing themselves because of benefit cuts. If they think this idiot is the answer, they're going to get some land when he gets in. And when he gets in, whether he gets in on his own or whether he gets in as part of a coalition, when he borrows like a bastard from the Bank of England, and when he basically triggers a crash further down the road, bigger than anything we've ever seen, Corbyn is a fraud. The idea that there's any sort of choice for you and me is fraudulent itself. Corbyn. I don't know what they're trying to do with this spy story. I think it might be just to, you know, make those who believe he's Superman to draw nearer to him. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyway, let's move on before I trigger the bejesus out of my Corbyn supporting audience. Well, you know, the snowflake Owen Jones, the prole pretender extraordinaire, the soppy little progressive masquerading as a journalist when he just writes pro Labour pieces for The Guardian. He's been urging Jeremy Corbyn to sue the little virtue signaller. Sue them all, Jeremy. And he's actually been tweeting, they're all homophobic too. What the fuck has that got to do with anything? Whether they are or not, virtue signalling to the moon. If I ever despised anyone, and I don't really, I don't hate anybody, but I'm reserving a spot for Jones. Should I decide to start hating, Jones is going to be number one. What a miserable little fart he is, Owen Jones, eh? Remember I told you last week about the launch of a new anti-Brexit party called Renew and how it was being advised by leading people in the En Marche movement, the movement which gave us Emmanuel Macron. Remember I told you about that? This party just getting funding, not just funding, but advice and strategy from the French. Well, they launched their party eventually. It's launched now. Two of their principals have been speaking to the media. Sandra Cadoury and James Torrance have been talking about why we need the anti-Brexit party Renew.
People feel let down by the major parties at the moment, and they are very disillusioned with the political offering, and they want a new way forward. So Renew is a party that's trying to offer a new vision for the future and basically keep us in Europe, but also address the problems facing British people at the national level.
Jeremy Corbyn is asking a lot of the right questions and pointing to the right issues, but his proposals are not going to help those issues at all, and they're probably going to bankrupt the country. Meanwhile, a lot of the Tories they either kind of deny that those problems exist or deny that they're really responsible for fixing them. Fundamentally, none of the politicians that we have at the moment are really representing people, and that's what we're here to solve.
There you go. Yeah. They're just another one. Renew is what they're called. There's probably some very dark forces behind this party and the other shower of plebs. Best for Britain, Gina Miller. Gina Miller. Loved by George Soros, Gina Miller. Anywho, Brexit Secretary David Davis gave a speech in Austria this morning. He said in that speech that Britain will not be plunged into a Mad Max-style world borrowed from dystopian fiction, he said, after it leaves the EU. We won't be plunged into some sort of Armageddon, some desolate landscape wasteland. Britain will survive and thrive, he said. Survive and thrive. Davis said the UK wanted to lead a global race to the top in rights and standards, not a competitive race to the bottom. British business could never be cheaper than China, he said, and must focus on product and service quality. Little dig at the Chinese there, you cheap bastards. Cheap and cheerful, the Chinese stuff that comes into the country. Davis's address to Austrian business leaders in Vienna is the latest in a series of speeches the UK government is calling the road to Brexit. The UK says it wants to avoid obstacles to smooth trade with the EU after Brexit happens. Something Davis said that interested me, and it will interest you. It will interest you. Something he said interested me and will interest you. He talked about drones and driving cars, self-driving cars. Drones and self-driving cars. Here's David Davis in Austria.
So we are striving to set the global agenda for effective regulatory frameworks that keep consumers and passengers safe, which is why we're developing a long-term regulatory framework for self-driving vehicles, whilst updating our code of practice for testing them. And we're also introducing new legislation so the use of self-driving vehicles can be covered by compulsory insurance. The same is true for drones. I soon expect to receive my deliveries from Amazon by drone. In fact, at this moment, weather permitting, in my home in Yorkshire, a robot lawnmower designed in Sweden, built in the northeast of England, will be mowing the grass.
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely man called Jimmy used to mow our gardens years ago. Now, we weren't rich, far from it, working class family, not rich at all, but Jimmy used to go around with a petrol lawnmower. And he used to charge 50 pence per front lawn. Make a few bob. No income tax, no VAT. And that's the way it should have been. Old Jimmy. David Davis, huh? Brave new world, says David Davis. Brave new world. Self-driving cars and drones. 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 Sod the tens of millions of people who drive for a living. Maybe actually hundreds of millions worldwide. Bus drivers, taxi drivers. They'll even have self-driving rickshaws, won't they, probably? Drivers, cars, lorries, transport, a whole lot. Screw them. And sure, won't we be watched from the sky by those lovely new shiny drones as well, which is what they're really for. It's not about convenience and Amazon flying your latest DVD or CD to your front door. It's about spying on you. And maybe doing other things to you further down the road as well. Brave new world. what is it? It's 11 minutes to the top of the hour. Here's a story that many of you were following today because it was all over the papers more so than the news media. But a 26-year-old woman who verbally abused paramedics and left a note on their ambulance in Stoke-on-Trent has admitted a public order offence. Kirsty Sharman accepted writing the handwritten message which said she didn't care if the whole street collapsed. God damn it. You're parking in my way. Get out. Paramedics were dealing with a 999 call. And she went to court over this. It's quite staggering. Here's Olivia Kinsley with the full story, which I think is a little bit sinister. Olivia Kinsley.
She was in court today and it's been quite a quick case. This has come, only happened on Sunday, this incident. What actually happened was that paramedics were treating an elderly lady in Stoke-on-Trent at a house there. She was struggling with breathing difficulties. They left their ambulance outside in the street while they went in to see her. And when they came out they found this very unpleasant note on the rear windscreen left by Kirsty Sharman, which wrote, "If this van is for anyone but number 14, then you have no right to park here. I couldn't give a expletive if the whole street collapsed. Now move your van from outside my house." Now, staff were very clearly upset about this. Kirsty Sharman also then abused them in person too in the street. The next day, she was then arrested, and then today she appeared in court where she pleaded guilty to a public order offence. The magistrate described it as an absolutely despicable incident, and Kirsty was ordered to pay a £120 fine, a £30 victim surcharge and costs of £135. Now, West Midlands Ambulance Service have welcomed what's happened in court today. They say, "We hope that this case will serve as a warning to others that abusing our staff is not acceptable. Our staff will only block roads or park in front of drives if absolutely necessary in the interests of patient care. In this case, they were parked at the side of the road and were not blocking a driveway." And they've also thanked the police for their very quick action on this case and also the public for their support, which they say has really been quite overwhelming. They've had so many messages, people writing to them on social media, one company even sending their staff some free pizza. I'll just read you one of the notes that was written on Twitter. It said, "Dear all emergency services, if and when needed, please feel free to block my driveway, car or anything else for that matter. If you want to brew, the kettle is always on. Kind regards, just one of the majority of folk."
Oh, the Twitter virtue signalers were out. "You can park in my drive, Mr. Ambulance Man or woman." What tossers, you know. "If I have a space reserved for Owen Jones, if I decide to become hateful, virtue signalers will be in the space right next to him. Aren't I great, aren't I? You can park in my drive. You can crash into my car if you want." Is it necessary to nationally humiliate this woman, who might have been having a very, very bad day, for writing a note and leaving it on an ambulance and giving them a bit of an earful on their way? She didn't assault anybody. She didn't get in their way. Yeah, she's a bit of a muppet, but a warning would have done it, surely. Hey, listen, love, don't be leaving notes on ambulances. There was a lady that had breathing difficulties. You never know, you might need an ambulance someday, and you'll be damn glad that they can park wherever they want. She might have said, "I had a terrible day, I'm a bit embarrassed." So why the national humiliation? What's the need for that? Nobody's prepared for that. If you're not in the public eye, or you've had no experience of exposure of any kind. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Isn't it? You know? Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. Right, this is Tuesday's Richie Allen Show. You've had enough of me, right? You've had enough of me. I get it. You've had enough of me. We've had enough of you, Richie. I want to say a big, massive hello to Tony Perks, who's listening to the programme in a cabin in the Alps in Slovenia. Tony, you lucky bastard. You bastard, you. Tony, I joke, happy birthday. Your wonderful wife, Bernadette, has tweeted me to wish you a happy 50th birthday. You're in a cabin in the Alps in Slovenia. You have chocolates and you're listening to me. Now, by my reckoning, It's at least an hour ahead. At least an hour ahead of where I am. I'm approaching 8 o'clock. It's either 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in Slovenia. I'm not too sure. What are you doing listening to the Richie Allen Show, Tony? Your gorgeous wife is wooing you on Twitter and wishing you a happy 50th birthday. I'm going to play a song for you. When the song is over, turn off the radio, and I don't think I should have to say any more than that. This is a wonderful version of Can't Help Falling in Love by Lick the Thames. This is for Tony Perks, who's 50 today and listens to the show every now and then with his wife Bernadette. Happy birthday, Tony! Thanks for contacting the programme. This is your Richie Allen Show, live on Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Great to be with ya. The Tins. Some of you who are old enough to remember will remember that song featuring at the end of a wonderful film called Some Kind of Wonderful. There was two great actors and actresses in that, Mary Stuart Masterton, I think, and Eric Stoltz. Wonderful 80s comedy. John Hughes, was it? Might have been John Hughes, might not have been. Great film ended with that, and that actress from Back to the Future, Leah Thompson, was in it as well. Great film, marvellous film. Some Kind of Wonderful. We're going to take the news headlines just for a couple of seconds. Let's have the news headlines. Let's get an update on the headlines, see what's going on there from FSN. In the meantime, by the way, just let me remind you before we do take the headlines, as it were, going to be speaking very shortly with Patricia Negron. Now, we're going to be talking about, it seems that all manner of information is coming out almost on the hour about the Florida shooting. And it's sinister. It's very sinister. You know, and I'm, you know my take on this sort of thing. I try to keep the old powder dry and I try to be a little bit rational about it, knowing that the, you know, the people behind much of what is going on are well capable of killing people and doing unspeakable things to people. I'm aware that staged things do happen from time to time, but I'm always reticent to be jumping the shark, as my mate Hayden Hewitt would say. But there's some very unsavoury things coming out today as well, and we'll touch on some of those things with Patricia Negron when she joins me in a few minutes' time. Before that, though, while we're here, we might as well check in with FSN and see what's going on. We'll just take the headlines this hour. And then we'll come back and, as I said, we'll speak with Patricia Negron.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. Afrin in northwestern Syria is under siege as pro-government Syrian forces tangle with Turkish troops to control the majority Kurdish town. The Russian Foreign Ministry confirms dozens of citizens were killed in Syria on February 7th. That's when U.S. forces helped defend their Syrian opposition allies in Deir el-Zour. The wreckage of the Iranian plane, which crashed, has been found on a mountainside. 66 died.
And thanks for that, Priscilla Huff from FSN. This is your Richie Allen Show. It's the top of the hour now. If you've got somewhere to be, you've probably still got time to be there. You can take the programme with you live on your mobile, your tablet, or any other device. We're live on Fab Radio 2, triggerwarning.tv, richieallen.co.uk, and the programme is archived on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podomatic.com, and iTunes as well. Always great to be with you. Keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. You can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. But for the meantime, I prefer you tweet it, because with all the new website development and everything, the email thing is a little bit temperamental, and I'm still not getting all the emails that I should be getting. That's nobody's fault, by the way. That's all being worked on and ironed out as I speak. Right, so we'll take a very quick break. When we come back from that, we will be with live the investigative journalist Patricia Negron. You don't want to miss Patricia, right? You don't want to miss Patricia. I don't know what's going on there. Right, quick break. Back in a minute with more.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Tuesday, February 20th. Right, Amy Winehouse then. Let's have some Amy Winehouse. Trish is standing by. She's there. She's eager to get going. While she's getting herself ready, let's have some Amy Winehouse back in a minute with Patricia Negron. Do not miss her. Do not miss that.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know, and this regret I got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting
for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day, but I'm grown. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. I don't understand, why do I stress the man when there's so many bigger things at hand? We could have never had it all, we had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you, that perspective pushes true. I'll be some next man's other woman, so I can't upgrade myself again. I should just be my own best friend. I fuck myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day. No regrets and no most of no day. Cause as we kiss goodbye, the sun sets. So we are history. The shadow covers me. The sky above the place. Lonely lovers see. He walks away. The sun goes down. He takes the day, but I'm grown. And in your way, my blue shade, my tears dry.
Tears dry on their own. Amy Winehouse on the Richie Allen Show. It's exactly 6.5 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the programme. Now, yesterday, it must have been yesterday, it could have been on Sunday View, I mentioned to you and I played some audio from a guy called David Hogg. He was speaking to Sky News, which is obviously the most watched 24-hour news channel here in the UK. The afternoon programme was talking about the Florida school shooting and David Hogg appeared. So it must have been yesterday. And I looked at him and I played some of the audio and I suggested that it looked more like a rant than an interview. It looked like he had prepared the words he was going to say and that he had rehearsed them and learned them. I said this yesterday. Honest to God. Now I work alone. I don't have producers and researchers. Unknown to me, friends of ours stateside, including the gifted journalist who's going to join me in a minute, they've already been observing this guy, David Hogg, speaking to various media in the United States, not just after the school shooting, but even prior to it. And this is one of the many anomalies, one of the many unsavoury things that have come to light since the shooting, that we are told Nicholas Cruz has confessed to, this young man who has confessed to killing 17 people. Our guest this hour was on the programme back in October, gave us a brilliant report, detailed and succinct report on the Las Vegas shooting. She is an investigative journalist, a broadcaster. You can find her on YouTube. I'll tweet links to her YouTube channel. She writes. You can follow her even on Twitter as well. I will make sure if you're not following her, I'll make sure you know where to go. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Patricia Negron. Trish, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Richie. It's great to be back.
Who is this David Hogg guy? This guy is everywhere. I saw this guy speaking to our media over here and I thought, well, that looks a bit rehearsed. That looks a bit staged. He's everywhere, Trish. Who is this guy?
Yeah, Richie, a lot of us had the same reaction to him. And sure enough, as researchers started digging, the first big clue that came to us was from him, the boy himself, which was that his father is a retired FBI agent. And now, mind you, the FBI had been warned of Nicholas Cruz well in advance. They knew of his issues that he was dealing with around the death of his mother, and he was on medication, I believe. He was living with other family members. And this was somebody the FBI knew about. Well, as the son of a former FBI agent, we decided to dig in because obviously there's a disconnect there. So we go further and find out that not only is he the son of a retired FBI agent, the FBI agent is on record for being vehemently anti-Trump.
Oh,
then we find out more about him posting YouTube videos and wanting to be a vlogger and having aspirations of being a journalist. And it turns up that he was in this video. He produced this video from California where there was a controversy around a boogie boarder putting his board on a trash can and being confronted by a lifeguard. And this winds up on the local news. And so David Hogg finds himself suddenly a celebrity. This was back in August of last year, I believe. And so now we're just starting to see him pop up in a lot of other places and posting videos that are clearly scripted. This is not someone who has just lost their friends at school in a horrific, violent crime. And so we're trying to find out now if he even was a student at the school. We're doubting that at this point now.
Shall we play a little bit of audio? This staggering bit of audio is David Hogg speaking to a CNN news team. Now, the sound isn't wonderful, but it's easy to understand what he's saying. I say the sound isn't wonderful because the person who put this on YouTube, they did it using, presumably they used their cell phone to do it. But let's just have a little listen. He's given an account to CNN. And Trish, I know you've heard this probably dozens of times. It sounds like he's been helped along by the people behind the camera. And
that's right.
He keeps forgetting what he's supposed to say and he keeps changing his story. Now, this is very important stuff. This is not conspiracy stuff. This is just plain old, it should be investigated type stuff. Trish, this is about 60 seconds long. So just let's have a quick listen to this. David Hogg. Trish brilliantly described this guy. Have a listen to who he is and listen to how he's conducting himself speaking to CNN.
Because we had had a fire alarm earlier that day, and that was a drill. So we thought this was a drill too, just another one. Because we have a lot of fire alarms, a lot of fire drills at the school. After we heard the first gunshot, we initially thought it was a drill. Actually, that was a bad choice.
It's okay, you're fine.
Actually, that was a bad choice because the janitor... Sorry.
It's okay. You're fine, David.
Honestly, when I was going out, I was kind of in... I wasn't... Hold on.
It's okay.
When I was going out, I was in shock.
Yeah, saying I don't know how to put this in perspective. It's okay.
So most of my friends that made it out, one of them went into a bathroom in the same... I believe in the same hallway as the shooter. Well, hold on.
It's okay.
One of them went into the same bathroom, I believe, as the hallway shooter. He was in there at the same time, and he was in the bathroom, and he didn't know if he was going to live.
You see, Trish, that looks to me, and I'm careful. I think that's one thing we have in common. We've only ever spoken once
this
before.
This is the last Florida shooting.
Right, you and I, Trish, we're careful before we make a judgment on something. This kid is reading from a script that he's memorized, right? And he's not doing very well.
He surely doesn't appear to be emotional in the way that you would expect someone, a young person who's just been through something like that, to behave. I mean, he's not, when you normally hear someone describe an event like that, they stutter, they hesitate, they take a moment to recall what they experienced and to as they convey the story. He's doing none of that. He's trying to remember messaging and lines. It very much appears to me. And one of the other things that was uncovered was that he had made a visit to the CNN headquarters, sat behind one of the desks, and took a little photo with another teen next to him, and then was pictured at a CNN party with one of their t-shirts on. So he's known to the station. I mean, you don't go on a field trip and get to sit behind the anchor desk at CNN. You have to know someone in order to get behind that desk.
You need to have a little bit of clout, don't you, Trish? You need to have a bit of clout. This is staggering stuff, because you can clearly hear either the cameraman or somebody, a producer, encouraging him, and at certain times actually giving him phrases.
Yes.
That is wrong, Trish. And you know, I interviewed Jim Fetzer on this last night. Over the years, I've interviewed various men and women who talk about this stuff. And I'm mindful that our audience, you know, sometimes they, not that they're fatigued, but they get very worried about these things. And they say, oh, look, these things can't be hoaxes. They can't be staged events. But right. I say, we can't ignore this sort of stuff. It can't be ignored, because there's something very wrong with it. Go ahead, Trish.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely with you on that, Richie, and I understand why people react the way they do, because it is inconceivable to the average person that their own government, the people who are entrusted to protect and serve them, are actually carrying out horrific crimes against them and their children. And the thing with to know about these types of events is that often people are killed. And we know this because we have lots of historical examples that to point to: Gulf of Tonkin, Iraq WMDs, you know, the Syrian gas attack. General Mattis just came out and said, oh, actually, we don't have any evidence of that. We've done it over and over and over again. We just, you know, can't seem to get over that idea that it could happen to us here at home. And something else that came out that is equally disturbing as David Hogg being used as a prop for the deep state in furtherance of its agenda, Nicholas Cruz, it appears, is being framed much in the same way that Oswald was framed for JFK's assassination. And we only know now that Oswald was in fact framed because the JFK files that were released in October of last year, these are the CIA's own documents that prove Oswald was set up as their patsy. They discussed the conspiracy to frame him as the single shooter, when in fact the Surgeon General report conclusively determines that Kennedy was hit initially by a bullet that came through the windshield and struck him in the throat.
That's right.
So we know that the CIA has a long track record of this. And we also know Professor Robert Duncan of Harvard did a lecture on the voice of God technology that is used by U.S. Intel. And it is a patented technology that was used during the Iraq War early. So this was 15, 20 years ago when it first started. And what it does is project voices into a target's consciousness. And they are led to believe that there are voices talking to them from outside. And not only that, this technology, this patented technology, is used to rewire their brains so that they can be manipulated into committing acts of violence.
And didn't he, Trish? Didn't Cruz say that demonic voices were talking to him?
James. Yes, he did. And that's what led me on that search to see if, you know, this could be applicable. And in fact, I think that's exactly what was happening. He had been brought to the attention of authorities. He was on medication. This type of manipulation arises from the MK Ultra operation that was undertaken back in the 1950s by the CIA to manipulate individuals, and it involves drugging them and torturing them and rewiring their brains.
You
another
make a great
CIA
point.
Officer, Kevin Shipp, attests to how that is still used today.
Trish, that's a great point. All the more so because it isn't new or recent technology. It's been around for as long as you've said it has. It's really important. My friend, Jean-Anne Crowley, very well-known actress and writer, journalist, she makes an interesting point to me here on Facebook. She says she wonders if they were with David Hogg, if they were doing some sort of take to be edited and given to CNN. Perhaps Hogg thought that the interview was part of the drill. That might explain his attitude. Basically, she's saying if the young fellow thought he was performing for a drill, that's not the same as knowing the drill is going to go live, as they say. So he thinks he's just part of the pretend. Now, that is plausible, and it doesn't, you know, yeah, alter or change the fact that something very sinister is going on. But maybe, you know, David Hogg maybe might not be in on any of this. And again, an unwitting patsy, maybe. What do you think?
Yes. Yes, and actually we have documented history to, in fact, corroborate that that would be likely, because if you go back again to the CIA's own records on Operation Northwoods, which was proposed by them to President Kennedy, they detail how they would go about creating a scenario where it appeared that Cuba had attacked the United States. And part of what they discuss in detail in these documents is how they would bring people into the operation who were unwitting tools. They would have no idea that they were part of this, and they would go back to their lives as normal afterwards, not having any idea. They just participated in this massive hoax. So again, we have the CIA on record doing this kind of thing. And so we have every reason to believe that that could have been possible for David. And the guy is young. He's not even adult. I'm 51 and this is all new to me and I'm still just kind of figuring it out. I certainly wouldn't expect someone David's age to understand the implications of what he's gotten into or to even necessarily understand it, as you just pointed out.
It's really good. It's actually Jean-Anne. It hadn't occurred to me that he'd be, again, because he'd been, you know, because he's been doing the rounds of the international media, you know, it occurred to me that maybe he was some sort of actor. But the information that is in the public domain, but has kind of disappeared from the narrative, and this is, I mean, the Daily Mail newspaper here ran the story over the weekend that Nicholas Cruz said that he was hearing demonic voices. And we've heard from his carers. They spoke to, obviously, national media in America, in the States, yesterday. And they were saying, you know, he seemed to be on the up and up. He seemed to be doing okay. He'd obviously had a rotten time of it. His adopted parents had died. Most recently, his adopted mother. Things weren't going very well for him. But he'd gotten into this college. He was living with his friend's parents. They seemed to be looking after him. He had an evening job. And he seemed to be, everything seemed to be on the up and up. Then this happens, and then he says that he was hearing demonic voices. And you know, again, Trishan, and your own story is incredible. We got into your own story, your own background, and when we spoke back in October, and how, you know, your interest in these areas is a recent thing. It's brilliant that it is. It's great work you're doing. What's fascinating is you talked about Oswald there. They have this whole story all ready to go. You know, the far right extremists, the white supremacists. Oh, it's all just ready, neatly packaged up for the media. There you go. Right. And people are ignoring the fact that those who knew him are saying, well, no, it doesn't make much sense to us. And he was being treated for depression and he said he heard demonic voices. These are serious things that must be spoken about.
I agree completely. And this is what we're up against, because the system is not corrupted. The system is one of corruption. And so we are faced with a situation where we have a federal law enforcement apparatus that is actually turned on us. And so finding ways to push through all of that and get to the truth and get the truth out there becomes especially challenging as the stakes escalate, and I'm sure you've seen from where you are how things continue to erupt on Capitol Hill with Uranium One and this whole Russiagate investigation. It just drives the deep state, who's behind these operations, to become more frenetic and escalate what they're doing in order to distract from all of this other corruption. So it's this vicious cycle that is spiraling us downward. And, you know, at some point, something's got to give, because we simply can't move forward in a world where you have an entire taxpayer-funded, you know, set of law enforcement that is protecting only the very few and the most criminal among us. And I feel terribly for Nicholas Cruz, because he is very much the type of patsy we've seen made over and over again. The Tsarnaev brothers, there's growing evidence that they were targeted in the same way, that the FBI will identify these guys, infiltrate. We also have a lead that the physician who was prescribing the medication for Nicholas was either former or is current U.S. naval intel. And they're just as bad as the rest of them. They will, again, victimize these young individuals and draw them into these operations unwittingly. And now his life is ruined.
Destroy his life, Trish. Destroy his life.
Yes.
I want to say this to you. I had a message today. One of the things that I'm very, very resolute about is that when somebody strongly condemns the program or something that was said on it, I give them right of reply. So I will say, listen, you can come on, and, you know, I'm not going to attempt to embarrass you or insult you. You come on. There's a chiropractor in Florida called Stephen Golden, and Stephen sent me a message this morning. It was pretty agitated, but fair enough. You know, the slings and arrows, we've got thick skin. He said Fetzer is a effing moron and should be shot. I personally know two teens who were murdered. You're an asshole too, if you believe that as well. Not everything is Agenda 21. What's wrong with you? So I replied to him. I said, Stephen, did you listen? Obviously not. I've never claimed that it never happened. I repeatedly put the other side of the argument to Fetzer. If you want to come on the show to rebut him, let me know. But he never got back to me to take up my invitation to come on the programme. So obviously feelings are raw. I've never suggested that nobody died. I know Jim Fetzer and others feel that very strongly. At least with Jim Fetzer, who I've known for many years, Jim will mean it. Jim is not a truther, industrial complex, money man, just saying what people want to hear. Jim will mean that. Trish, I think they probably people did die. What do I know? What's your feeling on that? Have young people been killed in that event last week?
I wouldn't doubt it. One of the things we also know about these operations is that they never miss an opportunity to get rid of witnesses. And that may have been what they did. They disposed of people who they felt were risks to them, and they could have been teachers and others. And just to sort of emphasize the degree of cover-up, for example, in Las Vegas, remember Stephen Paddock was named as the single shooter again, where we know that there were multiple shooters. But the person described by police in their report isn't even Stephen Paddock. They describe someone with brown eyes and was 6'1". Stephen Paddock was 6'4" and had blue eyes. So they don't even, the cover up is all the way down the line. I mean, the coroners are all in on it, and then they cover it up. The AP asked for the coroner's report on Stephen Paddock, and it came back noon the following day. So the AP pulled it right away. I mean, I think it's very likely that people were killed and they were removed from the scene. We saw there was another piece of video that came out of three or four black ops individuals. They're covered head to toe with ski masks and the whole thing. That one is carrying out a duffel bag that is full of what looks like dead weight. and it's awkward. He's, you know, fumbling with it, and they hoist it into the back of a white pickup truck that backs quickly up to where this exit is, and then the driver throws some materials out onto the sidewalk and that are quickly picked up by one of the individuals that had just exited the building, and that's where the video ends. So, you know, as sick as it is, I think that's absolutely possible that children were killed and or adults. That's the thing I think with false flags is when someone uses that term, people misunderstand it to mean that it was a total hoax and nothing bad happened. That's not at all what it means. A false flag means that your government has attacked you and tried to make it look like someone else did.
Absolutely, Trish. Well said. It's just been that in recent years. Certain, some of them pretty well known, at least among, you know, those who consume the independent media, among readers and watchers, some of them have kind of gone down the road of saying that everything is a hoax and it isn't. When you say that something has got to give with everything that's going on and all this stirring up of people, I kind of understand, I think, where you're coming from. What do you mean by something given, Trish? Are you talking about social unrest? What are you talking about?
You know, I do my daily program with Albert Bashai, and one of we talk about this issue day in and day out. And one of the conclusions we reached is that when you're talking about individuals who are corrupt to the degree that we see, and when you're talking about a system of corruption, there's nothing to salvage. There's absolutely nothing to salvage. And then you're also talking about a group of individuals who will stop at nothing. We see them slaughtering people left and right. I just got some video again out of Yemen, where a girl's face had been completely incinerated by white phosphorus. Chunks of it were falling off. The white phosphorus got there through the U.S. and its allies, and we are part of the problem. These are people who are totally okay with doing that. So I think one of the things our country as a whole is waking up to, at least among the community in which I circulate, is we're realizing we're talking about psychopaths, and they're not going to just take their punishment and be done with it. They have a scorched earth policy, and, you know, they will take us all out unless we stop them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's the ultimate thing. When all is said and done, when you do all these programs and read all these books and speak to all these people and you're doing it yourself, when all is said and done, there's a depopulation agenda, and it's by any means. And that is going to be, if they get their way, it's going to be implemented through a one world government. You know, Trish, you're watching it there from across the pond, as it were. You know that the people of this country voted to leave the European Union because of the tyranny of it, because the people of this country want to be responsible for their own destiny, have their own laws, fish their own waters, make their own goods, you know, their own steel, maybe mine coal again, and all these things. And, of course, that doesn't suit that agenda, because to get through what they want to get through, they need to concentrate power into less and less hands. And that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing it here in this country with this tyrannical refusing to accept that 52% of the people who voted in the referendum voted to leave. It is a depopulation agenda. We're seeing it across the board with our food, with everything. And you're right, these people have no qualms whatsoever about killing people. I made this point to Jim Fetzer last night. Look, Jim, why would they go all the time? I'm sure hoaxes have happened. I mean, I've never been happy with Sandy Hook, for example. But they don't go to these elaborate hoax, you know, levels all the time. It's easier for these animals to kill people. And Trish, they like killing people.
They do. They do. It's a power trip for them. It's horrific, but it's true. There, you know, what we're discovering is that you simply cannot reach those high levels of government and status without being corrupted. And that whole system of corruption is around the torture and murder of other people. That's how they get you. And so it's either on a small scale or a large scale. One of the things that people love to claim, you know, the Agenda 21, how chemtrails are conspiracy theory. Well, in 2001, the 107th Congress, they must be conspiracy theorists too, because they named chemtrails, that word, in the 2001 Space Preservation Act as a space weapon. Then we have the former CIA director, John Brennan, speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations about our $10 billion a year covert geoengineering program. I'm using his words, that is spraying sulfur dioxide, aluminum, barium, and strontium into the skies in a ploy to quote unquote block out the sun to buy the fossil fuel industry more
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're brilliantly briefed, Trish. You're brilliantly briefed, and you'll know that we have bee colony collapse in this country. You know,
yeah.
We have universities in Ivy League universities here putting out studies saying that bees are loaded up to the wazoo with aluminium.
Yeah.
Or aluminum, as you say, over your side of the pond. Well, I wonder where that's coming from then. Why are bees getting dementia and collapsing because of aluminium? I wonder where that's coming from.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that Monsanto has the only aluminum-resistant seed. They're trying to make the soil infertile.
They too. Are. It's called abiotic stress. Yeah. And they've patented the only seed that will grow in soil affected by abiotic stress, meaning that nothing will grow in it. You're on the ball here, Trish, and they have the magic seed. How wonderful. How timely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, all of these supposed theories are being proven left and right by, you know, these people's own hand. And while I think it's... obviously, the first step is education and making people aware. I think the harsh reality that we're starting to face is that, you know, it's not going to come down without a fight.
No, they're going to fight. They're going to fight hard. You know, I was just speculating in the first hour of the program talking about what's happening in Syria, and you have Turkish forces now lashing out in Afrin on the border with Syria. They're obviously targeting Kurds there. The Syrian government is coming in. You have the Israeli Prime Minister in Munich last week threatening Iran, basically saying that, you know, we're going to come for you, Iran. The Iranians are saying, well, no, we will raise Tel Aviv to the ground. They're operating in Syria, their agents. You have Saudi Arabia there. You have the United States. You have Russia. There is fertile ground in Syria for a major escalation, Trish, that could spark off. And I don't do fear porn. And I've watched your programs on YouTube. They're excellent. I recommend them. You don't do fear porn. But the everything, all the ingredients needed for a full-scale global conflict, which could cost millions of deaths, that atmosphere is right there in Syria right now. And it's not coincidental. It's not because of... You see, this is the thing, Trish, and you're encountering this on your journey as I am. People will say it's down to bad management, bad politicians and corrupt officials. They don't want to countenance, they don't want to comprehend or even consider that ultimately that sort of mass murder, that sort of bloodshed was really the plan all along.
Right, right. Yeah, if you go back, General Wesley Clark, he's a former NATO commander and retired U.S. general. In the days following 9/11, the Pentagon drafted a plan to invade 7 countries in 5 years. And Iran is the last on that list. It has not invaded. And you may know that Netanyahu was the police chief's unanimously recommended indictment of Netanyahu for corruption. And there have been tens of thousands of Israelis protesting his corruption for weeks in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and other cities around the country. So he's politically in a very weak place. Meanwhile, he illegally sold the oil rights to the Golan Heights in 2013 to a company by the name of Genie Oil. Genie Oil is owned by the likes of Jacob Rothschild, Rupert Murdoch, Dick Cheney, Democratic heavyweight Bill Richardson, former CIA director James Woolsey, who was just making the rounds yesterday talking about how the U.S. does in fact interfere with other nations' elections, but when they do it to us, it's a problem. It's when we do it, it's democracy.
Brilliant.
And so they're using our loved ones and as fodder to get their hands on this oil. It was the CIA that smuggled those terrorists into Syria in the first place. Serena Shim, an American journalist, exposed them in January of 2013. She got video of them trucking in tens of thousands of them on World Food Organization trucks through Syria. She was killed the day after she made her report. It was that same rat line that got Ambassador Chris Stevens killed in Benghazi not 3 months earlier. We are the U.S. together with Britain and Saudi Arabia and Israel are the collective largest terror organization in the world. We are the ones who are behind all of this violence. If we were to simply stop, we would probably have next to nothing in terms of these terrorist attacks. There was not one in Iraq before we invaded. Afghanistan had zero poppy production until we got there. Now they're at record levels as the U.S. soldiers are guarding those fields. I mean, my God, it just, how much more obvious does it need to be that we're the problem?
Hey, Trish, that's some major story too. At a time when countries are saying they're running out of opiates and there's going to be a big shortage of, you know, the very, very serious pain-killing medications. It's hilarious. You know, our governments or your government has got it, has basically got it all. It's extraordinary. Patricia, we've still got a few minutes. I don't want to not ask you for links. Now, I've got links that I can tweet out. But where would you like our listeners to go if this is the first time they've heard from you? Where should they go?
On Twitter, I'm at Tricia Dishes. And then I also write on medium.com at Trish the Dish is my hashtag there. On Facebook, I do every weekday, I do a live broadcast at noon Eastern time at Patricia Negron. On Facebook, I have a Syrian flag as my avi there. And I'm also on Gab as Trish the Dish.
The live show on Facebook, which I sometimes catch when I'm in the middle of preparing this, is excellent. I mean, it really is good stuff, Trish. You know, it can come across as a very patronising thing to say, and I don't want it to. It really is very, very good, very well produced and thought out. I'm very impressed with it. I really am. You mentioned Jacob Rothschild there and some of the good old boys. And speaking, I had a great chat with Dean Henderson last week about how ultimately Soros is telling the Germans and is telling elements of the government of the UK what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. But ultimately he's like the Peter Clemenza, the capo regime for Don Corleone, the godfather. Really the godfathers are Warburg, Oppenheimer, Rothschild and the good old boys of the Federal Reserve. That's what it comes down to, Trish, right? These are the, that's where the road, the yellow brick road leads, right, up to these guys.
Always, always. And they disguise their interference and their control over what happens through all of these organizations that have benign sounding names but turn out to be just little clubs for these guys to strategize about how they're going to loot us of all of our money and enslave us through digital currencies and RFID chips and things like that. So, I mean, it's just, it's shocking. I saw something about how the was it Scotland wants to stop paying a royalty to the Windsor family, some sort of payment that they make every year. And when you stop and think about it, these billionaires are the world's biggest welfare queens. They're the ones who pay the least amount of taxes and receive the most in government subsidies. It's just kind of shocking when you stop and think about it, you know, because they pay no taxes and are effectively zero taxes, and they consume far more of our public resources than your typical working class American would. We don't fly on private jets or, you know, have 15,000 square foot homes, multiple homes or any of that.
Speak for yourself, Trish. I'm rolling in it, I wish. I'm certainly not rolling in it. But, you know, I spoke to a man on a bus once when I was in London. I was doing a TV show in London, and it was about the only time that somebody in London actually recognised me from the TV show in London. I didn't have too many instances where I was mobbed by crowds of people or anything like that. But one guy said to me, "So you make that programme with David Icke?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "That's just a load of old cobbler, isn't it? All that conspiracy, all that money." And then he asked me to lay it out for him. You know, he said, "I've got two stops before I get off." And I said, "Well, basically, if you want to look into it, you're not living in a democracy." I said, "The royal families of this country realised that they couldn't any longer, you know, run the country the way the country had been run, with a royal family, a theocracy as it was, basically in charge. So what they did was they gave the people democracy, gave the people politics. But what they did was these families married into the big banking families of Europe, the famous banking families. That's what they've done. Between them, they've given you the illusion of democracy." I said, the Queen of England and the Crown owns every square inch of land in this country, owns the waterways around it, owns billions of pounds worth of property around the world. These people are still running things. It's just that you think that you can vote for Jeremy Corbyn or Theresa May and you think that you get a say in what happens. But these people laugh all the way to the bank because they control it. And the guy was like, "You're crazy." And that was the end of that conversation.
Yeah.
So, all right then.
It's tough to take. It's really tough to take. You know, people are easier to fool than they are to convince they've been fooled. So there's a lot of psychology to get over with this. And it's like leaving a bad relationship, I think, too. We here in the United States, I saw a study that it's done every year, and I can't remember the name of the group, but Harvard publishes it. And it again found that the U.S. ranked dead last for electoral integrity among Western democracies. And they go through all the reasons why we actually are not electing anyone. And even with something like that, people just kind of shrug their shoulders and say, "Oh, well, I'm going to vote anyway."
Yeah.
And so, and then how do you get yourself out of that situation? That's what I was saying, you know, when we were talking earlier about something's got to give. We have a justice system that has shown us time and again that it's not up to the task. Our law enforcement has been weaponized against us, you know, globally. And we have an electoral system that is a feeder system. Even with Donald Trump forcing all of these resignations and early retirements from Congress, which the numbers are huge. I don't know if you've seen that, but all those guys going out, they're just going to be replaced with another crop of swamp creatures. So that's, you know, it's an incredible dilemma about how to go forward without, you know, something really rather significant happening.
We're seeing cracks in the dam, though, Trish. Just before we run out of time, we've got about 90 seconds left. I'll give you the final word, of course. We are seeing cracks in the dam because when you have governments talking about we need to change the tone of debate on Twitter and we need to protect politicians from abusive comments on Twitter and we need to call in the social media CEOs, I see it's because they're nervous, because, you know, people are fed up of Sky News and CNN and C-SPAN. They're tired of it. They're tired of hearing the same story, you know, every 5 or 6 years. Oh, there's a madman in the Middle East who just decided to kill his own people. It is imprinting on people. And even those that we think are most stubborn are feeling it inside. They're feeling this is not right, this. And because of that, they're looking around. They are looking around and they'll come across Patricia Negron. They'll come across it. They'll come across shows like this and they'll... And when they're, you know, presented professionally with production values that are becoming of the mainstream media, they will take a second look. So I'm always optimistic. I see it. I've been making programmes for many, many years, commercially as well as independently. And I do see, and I get a great kick out of seeing people like you come along. You know, we talked about your background back in October, you know, your business background, and obviously very smart woman. You've gotten into... making programs now and writing about these things, and when I see that, I think this is fantastic. You know, it really is, Trish. So I'll give you the final word about 40 seconds before we've got to go. It's been brilliant having you back on. Thanks for coming on. Over to you for the final word, Trish.
Well, thank you, Richie, and your program is one such great beam of light out there, and I appreciate your optimism. I see people waking up all over the place, too, and all you can do is plant a seed, and I see momentum building. It's just, it's scary, and I think I'm not alone in that, but I'm also really grateful for the community that's building behind this, because it's resolute, and I see us succeeding. It's just a little bit, I have a little trepidation, you know, as we face it, but I'm excited about the fact that we're finally on our way there.
Want to mention again, at Tricia Dishes on Twitter, at Tricia Dishes. Now, I've tweeted out the link to Tricia's Facebook page where the Daily Show can be watched. Do connect to Trish on Facebook. Watch the show. Keep up with her posts and tweets on Twitter, because I'm going to tell you, I found at Tricia Dishes to be the most useful Twitter account over the last few days to look for credible information about Florida. And that's no small thing to say that. So I'm delighted that I've been in touch with Trish for the last few months. Great to have you on, Trish. Thanks again for speaking to us. And no doubt you'll be back on real soon. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for doing it today. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Richie. I'll talk to you soon.
Great stuff. The brilliant Patricia Negron speaking to us live there at Tricia Dishes on Twitter. Follow her if you haven't before. And do check her out on Facebook. I've tweeted a link to her Facebook page because she puts a live show on Facebook every day. And it is well worth checking out, believe me. Back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. Big shout out again to Patricia Negron. Great stuff. Top lady is Trish there. And I want to say good evening to Dion Larmour. What a name, Dion. Sounds lovely. Dion Larmour, and I know Dion from Twitter, listens to the programme and does tweet it with interesting comments regularly. Dion wants me to say a big hi to her wonderful husband, Eddie Larmour. Eddie, I hope I pronounced that surname rightly as well. Eddie, how are you? Lots of love from Dion. Dion, thanks for listening to the programme and thanks for tweeting it. I really appreciate that. Now, I am mindful of the fact that a lot of tweets came in there, and it was put to me today that I've been a bit slow in the last day or two reading even the tweets out. I am. I've given myself a smack on the wrist. I'm going to make sure that I make more time to read out the tweets, all right? I'm not ignoring them, and there's some really interesting tweets on there. It's just I get caught up in listening to what my guest is telling me, and then when I go back to Twitter, there's 40 comments there, or 30 comments, and I apologise for that. So I will keep that in mind tomorrow. It's been said to me once or twice, I hear you loud and clear. You can always follow what other people are telling me by going to twitter.com, and where it says search Twitter, if you put Richie Allen Show, that's with no spaces, that's all one word, Richie Allen Show. If you do that and press enter, you'll then see what people are tweeting to me and you can converse with them. Really proud of the Richie Allen .co.uk forum, by the way. When I say I'm proud of it, what I mean is Hayden was making the website, when he was putting it together, Hayden was saying you should have a forum. And I said, I don't want a forum. There are some very well-established forums that have thousands of members. DavidIke.com has got a terrific forum and people have been using it for years. It's established forums. I don't want to be putting forums out there. And Hayden said, look, any good website should have a forum, because if you're going to put articles on there and videos, there should be a forum, and we have a forum on there. I think to date we've got about 240 members on the forum, so it's not going to bring, you know, the system to its knees or anything like that, but 240 is not bad. And Hayden put some basic rules on there about not being abusive to people, but by and large, you know, pretty much anything goes in terms of you can say whatever you want. There's been some lovely critical comments. There's been some critiques or criticisms of me, of my accent, of my style. It's wonderful. Fill your boots. Get on to richieallen.co.uk forum and call me all the names in the world. Say whatever you want there, but do join in the debate, because it's good. And I understand why somebody who's been involved with websites as long as Hayden has, I'm beginning to understand why he is really for forums, and it's good. I won't ever participate in the forum because I haven't the time to do that, right? It's not that I'm too good for the likes of you, you know. It's just that I don't have time for it. But I am reading the comments on there and I think they're very good about various issues. So there you are. I have nobody booked in for tomorrow's programme, so I've got nobody to tell you about, but I will be with you and I promise I will have two guests. And I will have an interesting news roundup as well. Thanks again to Patricia Negron. What a great lady. At Trisha Dishes on Twitter. Follow her on Facebook as well. Going to love you and leave you. Big shout to Simon for the YouTube and for the counsel that I get from Jean-Anne Crowley in Cleggan in the west of Ireland. I'm very grateful for that as well. I always am. Going to leave you with some Dolores O'Riordan and the Cranberries. Amazing woman. Amazing song. The programme will be on podcast soon. The interview with Patricia will be on YouTube in the AM. Do subscribe to Podomatic. Do subscribe to the Truth Seeker app. Get the Richie Allen Show and lots of other shows as well. Stay in touch with richieallen.co.uk for articles that might or might not interest you. Until tomorrow at 7, it's goodbye from me. Look after yourselves and one another. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I enjoyed tonight's show. See you tomorrow. Bye now. Bye.